The word of God given to us today is Acts 16, verses 6 to 10. Paul and his companions traveled throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready to at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Amen. Paul, who departed from Lystra and with Silas and Timothy, tried to continue to preach the gospel in Asia, today's Western Turkey. But for some reason, the Holy Spirit did not permit this. Paul's party tried to go to Bithynia towards the east by passing through Phrygia and Galatia and going up to Mysia, which was located in the northwest part of Turkey. But this time, the Spirit of Jesus did not allow this. Paul's party had to go down to Troas from Mysia, which was in the opposite direction of Bithynia. Troas was a major port city which connected Asia and Europe across the sea by marine transportation. Verse 9 of the text. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After arriving in Troas, Paul had a vision. The Greek word horama means a clear vision. The vision was about a Macedonian man asking Paul to come over to Macedonia and help us. If the Greek original of this passage were to be translated to fit Greek grammar, it would be read, "A Macedonian man continued to stand and continuously asked Paul to come and help them." In other words, the vision that was shown to Paul did not occur and disappear in a flash, but it was a vision that was seen for quite a while. Macedonia was an area that belonged to the European continent located across the sea. First part of verse 10. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave. I already explained last week that the reason Paul's party has been recorded as "we," the first person plural, is because Dr. Luke had joined Paul's party in Troas. After Paul saw the vision, Paul's party got ready at once to go to Macedonia across the sea. If they were to leave to Macedonia, wouldn't it have been sufficient for them to simply head in that direction? What does it mean that they got ready? This question is easily answered if we knew what the transportation situation was like 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago, ships did not travel regularly between ports, which were far apart. Almost all of the ships set sail on a non-regular basis, and therefore, it was not easy for people traveling long distances to get a passage on a ship when they wanted. Paul's party, too, would have had to check every day down at the dock to see whether there was a ship sailing to Macedonia. Last part of verse 10. Concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. The reason why Paul's party tried so hard to go to Macedonia across the sea and began to get ready at once was because they concluded that the vision Paul saw was a command from God to preach the gospel to the Macedonians, in other words, Europeans. What we want to focus on at this hour is the verb concluded in this text, in the text. In the Greek original, this verb is recorded as first person plural. This tells us that all of Paul's party, and not Paul alone, reached such a conclusion. Paul, who had the vision of the Macedonian man, did not ask the others to follow him blindly without question and head for Macedonia. Paul explained the vision in detail to Silas and to Timothy, and also to Luke, who had newly joined them in Troas. And after exchanging their opinion about the vision seen by Paul, concluded that God called them in order to spread the gospel to the Macedonians. Paul explained the vision in detail to Silas and to Timothy, and they exchanged view in this regard. The Greek verb synbibazo, which has been translated as concluded in our language, originally means to join together. This does not merely mean that Paul, Silas, Timothy, and Luke, these four people, shared the same opinion. The vision that Paul saw was beyond reach of reason. That Paul's party had concluded that this vision was a command from God to spread the gospel to the Macedonians meant that their reasoning had interpreted and determined the vision in such a way. Therefore, we come to know that the verb synbibazo, meaning to join together, indicates that the vision which Paul had seen and was beyond reason joined together with the reasoning of Paul's party. As a result of this, they were able to conclude that the vision which was outside the realm of reason was a command from God to spread the gospel to Macedonians. T. Robertson, an annotator, explains the relationship between vision and reason as follows. A man's reason determines whether a vision is from God, allows us to discover what the revelation means for us, and that we are to obey it when we understand it. When a vision which transcends reason is given to us, reason allows us to discern whether the vision is from God or is just our fantasy. There is also reason that discerns what God's will is through such vision when the vision is from God. And carrying out God's will that has been so discerned is the result of reason having been exercised. In a word, a vision and man's reason are not contradictory, but rather they are in an inseparable relationship. God, before the Bible which records His words was given to man, often revealed his will to men through a dream or a vision. But today, as God's words have been given to us through the Bible, God speaks to us and reveals his will through the Bible rather than through a dream or a vision. If so, does this mean that we no longer need to exercise reason and believe in God now that it is the time of the Bible and not the time of dreams and visions? No, it is quite the opposite. If God is simply an object of senses, then men only need to feel God. If God is a being who has physical form, men only need to discern him with their eyes. But God is spirit which cannot be seen by our naked eyes, and he exists as Logos, the Word. The eternal Word that transcends time and space is the Word that transcends reason, which cannot be compared to a dream or a vision. Therefore, in order to understand the God of Logos, who transcends reason, it is necessary to first understand the logic of Logos. In other words, understanding the reasoning of Logos and the basis of such understanding is man's reason. Reason is an absolute requirement in understanding the words of God, more so than when a dream or vision is to be discerned. Fundamentally, reason is not from man. Reason belongs to God. God made men according to his image. In other words, according to his character and nature. As God created man, he also gave him his reason. That is why we are able to transcend man's reason through reason given to us by God in discerning the God's word and meaning. In today's scripture, Paul, who was able to discern God's will shown in his vision by use of his reason, testifies as follows in the latter part of Romans 12:1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Paul stated that true spiritual worship is offering our bodies as a living sacrifice. In other words, making our life itself become our worship to God. Well, the important fact is, as explained before, the word spiritual used by Paul in this text is logikos in Greek, which means reason. However, the word spiritual in the biblical context does not mean ignoring reason. When interpreting the Word of God, we should be careful not to lean to our own interpretation by placing man's reason above God or ignoring man's reason before the Word of God. This is because the proper spiritual relationship with God cannot be formed if we, in our arrogance, place man's reason above God. And if we insist on blind faith that excludes man's reason, men will fall into a state of spiritual ignorance. How important is reason in understanding logos. I would like to introduce to you a specific example that shows the importance of man's reason in believing God, who is logos, and how faith, when man's reason is used, results in establishing such mature faith. Among my acquaintances, I know a gentleman residing in the U.S. who became 80 years old this year. He was baptized in April last year on Easter. This February, 10 months after he was baptized, he sent a letter to the pastor and fellow believers of his church in which he wrote about the changes that occurred in his life during the past 10 months after becoming baptized. Having received his consent, I will now read the letter in this hour. When I first asked my pastor whether I could receive baptism in a small room, as I was embarrassed in my old age to receive baptism, my pastor immediately said no. There's good reason why I wish to share the changes I experienced during this time. When I stepped down from the platform after receiving my baptism, many fellow believers congratulated me with their warm hearts. For me, who considered baptism to be a personal matter to be carried out through a private ceremony, I was overwhelmed and shocked by such sincere congratulations poured upon me. In those congratulatory words, I recognized pure love and was surprised to realize that I was not alone. From that day, my fellow believers became my precious family. And such newly found love made me recognize the true meaning of the church for the first time in my life. This was because I started to at least vaguely understand the meaning and foundation of the church. Thinking back, there could not have been a greater gift than this for a person just starting his first step after baptism. Once again, I would like to express my sincere gratitude for this. These past 10 months, however, was not easygoing or joyful. Although I received baptism in order to believe God, I was lost because I did not know God nor where He existed. Even if I could not see or hear God, wasn't I at least supposed to have an image of God in my mind in order to have a relationship with God and communicate with Him through prayers? However, when I closed my eyes, my mind and surrounding was in total darkness. Even when I tried to read the Bible, I found it to be too massive and could hardly understand any of it, and so I felt like I was standing alone in a vast desert, staring into darkness and the endless road ahead of me. But one day, something miraculous happened to me. I finally saw a small light on the other side of the dark road. When I followed that light, bright, shining words of God greeted me. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. At first, although I understood love one another, I did not understand what was meant by as I have loved you. After asking many of my fellow believers, and deeply meditating on these words, to my surprise, I discovered that the end of these words were met by a tall standing cross, and with that, I also discovered that death and painful sacrifice may be waiting at the end of such beautiful and overwhelming love, and that Jesus clearly taught us such love through the cross. 45 years ago, I was watching a live television broadcast of an airplane crash. An airplane carrying more than 100 passengers had crash-landed and was sinking into a frozen river. Soon after the crash, a woman and four men who escaped from the sinking aircraft were floating in the water. And a life rope from a helicopter was thrown down to a man in his 50s. The man, however, instead of saving himself, put the rope around a half-conscious woman and had her pulled up to the helicopter. In the same way, he also saved three other men. However, when the rope finally came down for him, he could no longer be seen in the water. I cried like a little child as I watched this happen. I was sad about his death, but perhaps it was more so because I was upset and could not understand why this man had saved the lives of others at the cost of his own life. But now I know. Although he was an ordinary man in his 50s, he was a man who kept the great love symbolizing Jesus' cross deeply in his heart. After understanding the profound love and teachings of Christianity through the love shown to me by my fellow believers, and having seen the cross and following such love, I was able to, for the first time in my life, accept Jesus' resurrection and the many miracles of Jesus Christ. This is all possible because of the understanding that began from the cross. From that day on, I stopped wandering about in search of the Lord. I realized how preposterous it is with my limited mind and brain to try to measure God, who is bigger than the universe we know, eternal beyond our understanding of time, omnipresent and omnipotent. Instead of searching for God in order to be pampered by Him and praying for my own sake, I decided instead to focus my efforts on studying the Bible to learn what God's teachings meant for me. And during that time, I met Paul. As I was traveling various towns in Italy and Greece, I was amazed to see that there was hardly a place not set foot on by Paul. Near the sandy beaches of ancient Corinth, looking at a small rusty cross standing on the spot where Paul landed after he had crossed the far end of the Aegean Sea, my heart was overwhelmed with inexplicable emotion. As I was touching the stone steps of the Temple of Apollo with my two hands, I thought about Paul, who preached at this place and was arrested by the Jews and dragged into court. Today, I study the Bible with the belief that someday I will be able to see God with my own eyes if I follow Paul's footsteps with admiration and trust. What do you think? Isn't the faith of this 80-year-old gentleman who wrote this letter this February, only 10 months after he had been baptized, isn't his faith better organized than that of many believers who have been going to church their entire life? he knew already that only through God's words, which is the Bible, may one understand God's will. That the essence of the Bible is Jesus' cross. That believing in God is to love my fellow man. That because love is accompanied by sacrifice and death, it is possible only through the cross. And that instead of demanding that God look after me, it is more important to learn and understand God's teaching through the Bible. How could his faith become so organized in such a mature way in only 10 months? This was possible because, as a baptized person, he used his own power of reason to correctly understand the Word of God, who is the Logos which transcends reason. This was also possible because he had, with his power of reason, completely accepted God, who is bigger than the universe he knows, more eternal than the time he understands, and omnipotent and omnipresent. Therefore, it is not a strange thing by any standard for this gentleman to believe that someday he will be able to see God with his own eyes, if he lives for the love of the cross like Paul, who traveled to the European continent by crossing the sea after realizing with his power of reason that the vision he saw was the command of God. This gentleman is now studying the Bible while reading other advanced books on the Bible. Needless to say, that the remainder of his life will be beautifully filled with the eternal truth of God as he continues to study the teachings of God while using his reason as much as possible. Today is Family Sunday. Just because Apostle Paul gave himself up for the Lord does not mean we are to neglect our family or ignore the role of the family. Through chapters 5 and 6 of Ephesians, Paul commands husbands to love their wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up on the cross. And for wives to submit to their husband as the church submits to the Lord. Paul commands children to honor their parents in the Lord, and parents not to exasperate their children, but to bring them up in the teaching and instruction of the Lord. However, this is not Paul's command. These verses recorded by Paul are the words of God, so they are commands of God. Most Christians know these commands of God. Then why are even Christian families beset by so many problems? Why cannot Christian families become the source of love and true happiness? This is because we do not live as Christians of reason. If husbands for once would think with seriousness and reason what it means to love their wives as Christians, how could they betray their wives?
times.
If wives for once would meditate with their reason, their roles as wives before the Word of God, how could they become, live lives self-centered in every way? If Christian parents for once could think with seriousness and reason about how to raise their children as parents of true faith before God, could they raise their children who have been entrusted to them by God as slaves of their own selfishness? If children for once would think with their reason what it means to honor their children, to honor their parents, children would not turn away from their parents. The earlier mentioned gentleman and his wife have four adult children. He was a model head of the family since he was a young man. And all who knew him praised his family as an example of harmony. I'm now filled with joy just by the thought of how even more happier his family will become as they pursue the love of the cross with their faith and reason. As long as family members thoughtlessly believe they can treat each other as they wish, according to their emotions, merely because they are family members, our families will only be incubators of pain. For Christians, there could be no greater misfortune. Let us all be husbands of rational faith, wives of rational faith, and parents and children of rational faith. As family members, let us become Christians of reason, fulfilling our roles and responsibilities as family members. And at that moment, our lives will become a spiritual act of worship. Our families will be the source of love and true happiness. And God will renew this generation by using our families as His pathway. Let us pray. Paul, who saw a vision while in Troas, was neither a realist worshiper who ignored the vision, nor a mystic who recklessly followed the vision only with his feelings. He was a Christian of reason. He explained in detail what he saw in his vision to his companions Silas and Timothy, and with their reason, they accepted the vision as being God's command to preach the gospel to the Europeans. The Lord who is Logos called such men of sound faith as his means, and through their faith based on reason, fulfill the Lord's providence for that generation. We thank you for giving us this Family Sunday and for giving us the opportunity to look back on our own families. Our families are collapsing in this devastated world where only money is worshipped. There are so many families whose members only give pain to each other by turning their backs on each other rather than engaging in loving conversation or embrace. Christian families are no different. Please forgive us of our faults and foolishness in believing that merely because they are our family members, we can thoughtlessly treat them as we wish according to our emotions. Help us live as Christians of reason like Paul and his companions. Allow each of our homes to become a small church where there is spiritual worship every day, with husbands fulfilling their responsibilities through their faith based on reason, wives fulfilling their roles through their faith based on reason, parents fulfilling their responsibilities through faith based on reason, and children keeping their place through their faith based on reason. And let this devastated world be restored and healed through our families. Amen.